Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
You know, as a series in church in the mornings, we've been doing thinking about pains and gains. Very often God is working in just certain sections and we can't see always how things tie together. And it can be painful when that happens because we can't see the big picture. And it can really disquiet us, can't it? In the last couple of weeks in our household, we've been experimenting with putting limits on connection to the Wi-Fi. Can you imagine the joy around that? Not so much peace at times. However, the interesting thing is it has exposed how utterly dependent we are on the internet for just about everything. And it's not even like the leisure, pleasure, YouTube, Netflix, Amazon stuff. It's the access to homework and just anything that's going through your mind at the time that you want to look up. It's quite incredible. And how utterly frustrated we get when we can't get connected because we just can't get what we want. We are so used to having a tailor-made life for us. Yet, have you noticed that despite our super-fast, instant lives, that we aren't yet in control of the menu of our lives, what matters most? And neither have we persuaded or coaxed God into speeding up his delivery timeframes or getting in sync with the on-demand pace of life. No, I am discovering God is spectacularly unhurried. I use a familiar and trivial scenario to jibe and peep around the door of what genuinely does disquiet our souls. And that is the arrival of the unexpected. And what we do with it, what we did not order, and the ensuing distress, sometimes life-altering, and a God who seems silent, or sometimes worse, ambivalent in the face of our distress. And if we're honest enough, many times our frustration or heartache lingers longer than is healthy and displaces that true peace. That's what we're talking about this morning, is the peace that God says, "Come and be still. Be still and know that I am God." And that's not the peace of wish fulfillment when the flag flies high in the castle of our lives, but it's a steady and certain trust that anchors that disquieted soul during the storms of life and averts a shipwreck. Last year, a guest speaker and friend of this church, Mary Ritchie, gently and wisely admonished us to be wary that disappointed an event, a moment, a betrayal, whatever it is, does not become a culture of disappointment in our lives. And I resonated with that. The Maker was right when he said in John 14:27, "Let not your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." You see, we have a choice. We partner with Jesus in letting not our hearts be anxious and afraid. Familiar with adversity myself, I'm constantly intrigued by the stories for those whom life didn't come easy either. And right across the room, there would be stories of things that you have had to face, times when your faith has been shaken and you've had many questions. And like the song said that the kids sung earlier on, in the questions, however, his truth still holds. And he understands the questions, and it's okay to have the questions. I think of people like Joseph, Daniel, Paul, and then Jesus tells us about the stories of the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, the lame man who was in his condition for 38 years, the blind man who was blind from birth. Again, just a sign that God knows that things can linger for a very long time. And yet he still offers hope, and he isn't uncomfortable with unhurriedness, even though it can be painful. Bill Johnson says, "The miracle of process is just as much a supernatural gift as is the instant miracle. And sometimes we forget that because we want the instant. We want the now, the quick fix it. Again, the symptom of we want to choose life in the, on our terms because that is what we've become so used to in today's age. And yet very often, it's the process miracle. It's what he's working in us that is important for what's beyond. That's why God won't abort the hardships at the time that we would like him to. I recently came across the life story of a pastor in America called Dick Woodward. He was a dedicated pastor for many years, internationally acclaimed for his teaching material, and he was struck with a degenerative disease of the spinal cord at age 52 that left him a quadriplegic. Nevertheless, he continued to preach from his wheelchair for 17 years, and then when he became bedfast, because his limbs had no more strength in them. He continued to teach small groups, mentor and write, and then eventually, with the help of voice-activated software, still continued to serve the Lord and minister to people for a further 14 years until he eventually went home at the age of 83 in 2014. Stories like that of resilience, of perseverance, of not allowing life's storms to limit and to put us in a box and say, you can't, because it questions who your God is. And sometimes that is what we're so afraid of, is that when life isn't as perfect as we would like it to be, I'm a bit of an idealist, then we think that it says something about us. And yet God still continues and still has a plan. This man spoke of God garden spots in Scripture, favorite verses to encourage and nurture the soul that invite that time to pause, to reflect, to think on the goodness and sovereignty of God. When we think of that verse, be still and know that I am God. Stillness is something as mums, it can be really difficult to set aside time to do. And yet, sometimes the overwhelming way that life affects us emotionally, we must take that time to come aside and be still and know and know and know that he is sovereign, that he's in control and he sees it all. The story is told of a man who was told by God to push against a huge rock as the primary work for his lifetime. For many years, the man did that, exhausted, burnt out, and discouraged. He told the Lord that the rock had not moved a centimeter. The Lord responded and said that he had not told the man to move the rock, but to push against it. He made the observation that pushing against that rock had given him a strong, healthy, and muscular body. God knew all along that it was only he could move the rock. I think of a woman in ministry. Some of you will know her, Wendy Alec, who with her husband pioneered the first Europe's first 24-hour Christian broadcasting station. They did that in the hardest of circumstances. And with the call of God strongly upon their lives, they did what few believed were possible. I always thought that this was the dream, you know. We talk about having a dream and just running with that and allowing God to do the impossible. And one day they explained that the establishment of God TV was never what they wanted to do, that was a specific call that they felt that they should do. What they really wanted to do was begin to pioneer into the world of Hollywood and create secular blockbusters based on the epic retelling of the story of the race of men and the war for the hearts of the race of men between the Father, the Son, and the enemy of our souls, Satan. And yet, what they were required to do first was to run with God TV. I believe that was like that rock. They had to push hard, and that was their first fruits offering in their lives. However, Wendy not only had a debilitating, severe illness for 4 years where she was constantly sick, from morning till night for that time. But she went through the journey of divorce. Her husband left. And then things dissolved and changed with the ministry. And then she also lost the rights to these incredible books that she had been writing, which by that stage, executive film producers from The Compass, who made The Compass and Lord of the Rings, were already saying, this needs to be on screen. I'm pleased to say that that is coming to life, and we are going to see that very soon. But it just shows you sometimes that what the challenges that we go through, the hardship that we go through, is to prepare us for something more that's ahead. It sharpened her. That time sharpened her for the many, many dark nights of the soul that she would yet encounter. Job 2, when Job's life has completely fallen apart and everything that matters most to him has gone, his wife helpfully says, Job, do you still cling to your integrity and your faith and trust in God without blaming him? Curse God and die. Isn't that the case? That when things go wrong, that there is this little voice that is constantly wanting to blame. But Job says, shall we accept only good from God and not also accept adversity and disaster? Many of us can trust God for the good things that comfort and sustain us, but do we have faith and the knowledge of God to see even the challenges, believing that that is making the difference for us between spiritual growth and spiritual atrophy? Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And he said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. I find that verse really critically important because, see, lots of people in the world, everybody wants peace. There's nobody that would say, no thanks, I don't need peace. Everybody wants that. But what Jesus is alluding to is that if you try to attain peace without me, you'll only get the measure of peace of when the kind that happens when everything lines up and it's all going just as we want it to. He's saying, I will give you soundness of soul and wholeness when you hide yourself in me. He says that when our persistence has drained to empty, and whether or not we have managed to get everything that we want or not, and when our soul still screams empty, peace from him will gently whisper to our souls when we listen carefully enough, full. Why? Because he is in me and he is enough. That pastor reduced his life to 4 spiritual secrets. And I think that is so powerful. He determined, I'm not, but he is. I can't, but he can. I don't want to, but he wants to. I didn't, but he did. Because I am in him and he is in me. That spiritual truth of oneness, that oneness and intimacy and dependency that not only does Jesus want to reveal to us personally, because in the joy and beauty of all that motherhood brings and all the different roles that we have in our life, we are still our own people. God is still working on us as individuals. And we want our children, just like Jesus wants us to know, that deep down we are loved. And that even when things are hard, even if by our own making, or in our kids' lives by their own making, that we still love them and we will journey with them. I love this verse in Isaiah 63, verse 9. It says, in all their distress, he too was distressed. Know this day that your God is not ambivalent about the sorrows that you carry. He understands and he knows it. And it says, the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. remind yourself this day, if you have really struggled with feeling, where is God? And the questions are okay and the pain is okay, because Jesus felt that trauma. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, the Bible isn't full of people who didn't have an array of emotions. Actually, the Bible is filled with accounts of people who were at the end of themselves. God knows and he understands. And there have been several times when I've been there, I'm sure you've been there, when you say, God, I can't do any more. I'm at the end of myself and what I'm capable of. There was a time, I'll let you into a little secret, it was a few years ago now, but there was a time when it was actually Mother's Day, and the boys were much younger. Oh no. And I was feeling unappreciated. Anybody else been there on Mother's Day? If you're honest. I was just feeling like it was a hard slog. And you know, I went to Asda, and I was picking up food. I can't remember. Food. Everybody needs food. Our family needs food. But what I wanted to do was I wanted to just go. I just wanted to keep driving. I didn't even want to go back home. So I drove. I started driving towards Longside, and I was like, God, I can't believe I'm doing this. I can't believe I'm doing this. What am I doing? But you know how I feel. You know how I feel. And I just heard God just whisper to me, go back home, go back to your post. Because sometimes the journey does feel a little bit like you're trudging through mud. Sometimes it does feel like that. But we just go back to our post, we carry on. Because that's what we're there for. We are there for in the good, we are there for in the bad. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and 10 says, my grace is sufficient for you. And I'm learning this every day, all the time. But I love it because it says, my loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough. Always available, even if you're driving in the car going the wrong direction. Always available, regardless of the situation. For my power is being perfected and is completed and shows itself most effectively in your weakness. That gives me hope. That gives me hope when I feel like I'm not enough in what I face in my love, that he says, that's okay. Your weaknesses and limitations are platforms for my glory and my strength to show through. So I am well pleased, Paul says, with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, and with difficulties. For when I am weak in human strength, then I'm strong, truly able, truly powerful, truly drawing from Christ's strength. What am I saying this morning? I'm saying that ability to hunker down, to stay in him, matters. It matters for our own well-being, to know how we live from a place of trusting in the sovereignty of God. Peace matters. It matters for us. It matters for our families. It matters for who we are in the world around about us, because there are some out there who don't have that hope. Jesus offers us hope. He says that I will redeem, I will make good, I will make all things work together for good. So what is the prescription for peace, really simply? I likened it to this, the ABCs. Number one, let's abide in him. Make our homes, dwell, find our place and our identity, our love and our longing, all of those things abiding in him. Be kind. Be kind to yourself. Banish blame. Because it is so easy when things don't add up for us to do a lot of searching and blaming. Now, it's okay to be critically reflective and to wonder and ask God, should I have done something different? But many times the blame game comes with shame, and it has no fruitful product in our lives because it actually minimizes us. David said, the man after God's own heart, he said, your gentleness has made me great. If you are ever in doubt that you need to always be strong and you need a firm word, that is not always the case. God knows us deeply. He knows us inside out. And David said, I know what I need from my Savior. I am not perfect. I am flawed. And yet he said, your gentleness has made me great. And let's be kind to one another as well. Let's not look for fault. Let's be kind and encourage and lift up. And finally, the C, carry on. Let's be those faithful servants, because when it is all said and done, he will make sure that the tapestry of our life, as squiggled and as random as it look on the back, when it is turned around for the beholder to see, it is a picture of beauty. And that doesn't mean that there aren't fragments of great pain that have occurred in the course of that tapestry being woven. But it does say we can rely on him. He sees it all. He is sewing it all together. So this morning, I just want to say, be encouraged. You are loved. God is with you. His presence is enough to save you. And he is able to redeem the hardships. And when it feels like all you're doing is pushing and the rock's not moving, keep on praying until something happens. P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. And we will trust in the goodness and sovereignty of God to take us through.
On this incredible Mother's Day service, there's no greater question that we can ask you. Do you have peace in your heart? You heard it shared through that word through Joanna in the busyness of life, in the hustle of bustle. In the middle of things that you cannot control, there is something that you can control, and that's peace within your soul. That's not got to do with outward circumstances. That's got to do with something that's internal. How do you find that true peace? That true peace only comes through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The question is not, do you attend church? The question is not, do you live well? The question is not, do you have a good character? The question is this, do you have a relationship with Jesus? God's word, the Bible says this. Jesus declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Hey, on this Mother's Day service, wouldn't it be great if you could truly find that peace? If we could just bow our heads, close our eyes just for a few moments, I want to give you an opportunity just to respond to Jesus this morning. We're almost finished. It's been great. We've had a wonderful time. But do you have that peace that passes understanding that comes from knowing him and him alone? You can find it this morning by asking Christ to come into your heart. We would love to pray with you after this service. Come and join with you. So if you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, it's not well with your soul, but you want that peace that passes all understanding this day, come on, just put your hand up and we will pray with you after the service. We already heard about this morning, about the young lad last week. This can be your day. Anyone, just as we close this wonderful service, Father, we thank you for the incredible words that we have heard. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. We pray that it will be our portion. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.